Okay, we might be nearly talked out, so we'll try and be merciful. But before we start, which I think could end up being quite a brief session, this will depend on your preferences. I will try and do a very quick summary. But before that, there is one person who we have introduced but who has been very silent, and I think that in the name of justice, where I know he's he speaks with great brevity, I want to ask Michael, the new chair, to say a few words.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick and Hakim. Greetings from Singapore National University and the Center for International Law at the National University of Singapore. On behalf of my dean and the center and myself, may I express our delight in our continuing collaboration with the WTO and our excitement in joining this distinguished group of academics. I've learned a lot listening to the presentation today, learning from experiences, learning from the comments from the commentators and discussants, and we in Singapore hope to integrate and synergize with many of our projects and hope to learn from you in the days to come. What are our plans? Well, in October this year, we are already working with the WTO on a roundtable dialogue with senior officials from the Asian region looking at DDA issues. In July 2012, Brady has already commented on this. The Center for International Law at NUS will be hosting the biannual Singapore International Economic Law Conference in Singapore. This is the first time we've done outside of Europe. First time was in Geneva, second time in Barcelona, and the third time it will be in Singapore. I look forward to seeing many of you there. I've met many of you at the Barcelona one, and I hope to see new faces and new friends in Singapore. I can promise an intellectually stimulating event. I know some of you have already talked about a roundtable organized during the SIEL for WTO chairs. That's something we can look at. I don't have full authority over the program, but it's something we can definitely explore. It's going to be intellectually interesting, and more importantly, for those of you who know Singapore, I can promise also good food. On research, we at the National University of Singapore hope to develop new research projects on emerging issues facing global trade and the WTO, and it's one thing we'll be looking at. I really think with the current financial crisis, as Antoine talked about, the increasing concerns about food price spikes and the ongoing political difficulties in many countries, we are unfortunately living in very interesting times. It's always been said as a Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. We do. In such times, perhaps members of the Academy could respond with interesting research. And we at NUS would welcome collaborations and joint research proposals as we struggle to understand these interesting times. And hopefully we will together be able to make them, in our own little way, better times. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. One other little element of housekeeping that I'd like to just mention before and attempt this rather superficial summary is that, just for the sake of transparency, the chair for the University of West Indies has shifted from Mona campus to Cave Hill campus, and the new chairholder is Professor Keith Nurse. So we're gaining a chair, but we're losing a member of the advisory board. I just wanted you to know this. Sorry?
Unequal exchange.
Unequal exchange. You can interpret that how you want. All right, so I just wanted to mention that as well, so everyone knows what the situation is. Okay, a quick summary, and I'm going to be really quick, and then it'll be really up to you whether you want to discuss any of these things further or not. We obviously are happy to do so, but we won't take it amiss if you don't, because it's been a pretty long day. But let me just give you a sense of what I think are the main points. Now, this is just me, and I would expect you to intervene and say, wait a moment, you forgot this rather important point, if you think that is the case. And I'd also like to say that we will be asking you, and this is entirely voluntary on your part, we will be asking you for your slides, for your PowerPoints. so that we can use them, we can learn things from them, we can get. Now, if you don't want to give them to us, that's fine, but we would really welcome it. We'll be emailing you and asking you for them, because I think that would very much help us as we think about how we're going to move ahead with the program. Okay, I've just summarized everything in terms of 5 headings: cooperation and networking, output, reporting and accountability, website, emails, and sustainability. So very, very quickly. On cooperation and networking, clearly these are some of the main points that I think have come through. We really need to economize as a network through avoiding duplication and pointless innovation. Best practices and standardization, yes, but customized localization as well as a network. Remembering the learning effect, and that's from outside institutional and personal involvement as well, not just from colleagues within the network. Learning from other networks. There are lots of other networks out there. We should be aware of them. We should learn from them. We should benefit from them. And we should also remember our unique status as a multilateral network, a point well taken. Mutual support is another really important point why we want cooperation amongst the network and with outsiders. And in this context, I just want to make a particular mention of data. Now, this might not be of as much interest to the lawyers, although, of course, they work with data too, but some of the economic analysis that needs data, we should be very open about what our data needs are. There are certain things we can do to help, and I'm quite sure there are certain things others can do to help them too, including other international agencies. Output, multidisciplinary in a broad sense. That means we're looking at economics, we're looking at law, we're looking at political science, and we're looking at the whole gamut. So I think that's an important thing, and this was always in the design. It's also trade-related in a broad sense. It's not just about trade policy. It's about all those other things that go into determining the ingredients of cooperation, writ large, international cooperation. And that means, too, we have no intention whatsoever of trying to limit ourselves to a multilateral focus or to the WTO. It's regional as well. It's bilateral. It's a whole range of things that come under international cooperation. So in all those senses, we're a broad church, which, of course, then we should make the cautionary note, we shouldn't be so broad that we're entirely superficial. Again, we're not going to cover everything, but we're not excluding anything from potential coverage. What about the balance amongst the three pillars of the program? We've had quite a broad spectrum here of views. I mean, one suggestion that maybe should we really have everyone doing the three pillars? Should there be specialization in the sense that maybe some institutions won't do research, some will really emphasize teaching and curriculum? Here I'm going to get a little bit personal in my view. I mean, I think all the institutions that we are partnered with here have research capacity, and we would like to partner with institutions with research capacity, and we probably won't feel very enthusiastic about partnering with institutions that have none. But that's now maybe that, I don't know whether this is a sensible preference or not, but I kind of take the position that Antoine was expressing a moment ago. But then, of course, we do have to be clear about what we mean by the word research. You know, research can mean very different things to different people and to different disciplines. And it seems to me that the way we can finesse this is to think about objectives in the context of what we're calling research. And clearly our objectives are to ensure analytical solidity. You know, this has got to stand up to critical analysis. It's got to be relevant, but it's also got to be accessible. It's got to be policy useful, and it needs to respond to the interests of the clientele. I mean, one thing we need to always remember is that this motivation, for at least from our side, and I think this is well understood, is that we're a public policy institution. We're not a research institution. We're a public policy institution. But good public policy does require research. So we need to get this into some sort of coherent context, I think. And in that context as well, where does teaching fit in? Well, teaching, we're not saying that we only should be teaching government officials. Of course, for us, the main objective of this at the end of the day is the capacity for nations to articulate and defend their trade policy interests, again, trade policy writ large. So obviously, we want, it's very important that this is the case. This doesn't mean we shouldn't have academic teaching. but it also means that the possibility of having teaching that would involve courses for government officials as well should not be disregarded as a very useful output from this program. So these are the things we're going to have to balance. Not everyone's going to put the same emphasis on these things. Not everyone's going to put the same emphasis on research. But I don't think we should worry too much about research having too narrow a focus, or for that matter, teaching. As for the target groups, who are the target groups? Well, I think we've had quite a bit of discussion about this. Obviously, they're governments. They are parliamentarians. They should be NGOs, civil society, and indeed, there should be the public at large. That's, again, part and parcel of being a public policy institution and having that kind of bent in relation to this kind of activity. And I do like the points that were made about putting the academic community in the right position in relation to what it can contribute in this whole domain. I think another point which is made, which I believe also is important, is that, you know, to what extent are these programs nurturing upcoming individuals, broadening the talent, deepening the talent base, the knowledge base. I think this is something else that we really need to bear in mind, and that also speaks to the idea that the chair is likely to be stronger the more it involves a range of individuals. The idea that we should think about doing comparative work, thematic work, I think that was something that was also said. These language issues, I have to say I have a lot of sympathy for that. I don't see how to centralize it because it would be really expensive, but I do think that it's something that we should bear in mind, and if there are ways of doing something about bridging the linguistic divide, and in this context, not just in the narrow sense of the three WTO languages, but I think this is going to have to be something that will be done more at the level of the shareholder institutions themselves, but if we can help in any way, certainly we would like to. The idea of a reward system, prizes, additional money, I think all those are good ideas and we should think about them within the context, you know, within the confines of our own constraints, but also we need to think creatively about what really would make sense. We want to have a decent incentive structure around this. And it's got to be seen to be legitimate. So it's not always that straightforward, but I do think it's something we should be in the market for ideas about and think about developing. I mean, this idea of an annual conference is a very attractive idea. One of the things that I think I've come away with from today, and I suspect a lot of you have too, is that it's been great for us in this really the first meeting when we've had something to talk about instead of just talking about what we are going to do. We've also talking about what we have done, and I think it's been a good experience for that purpose. But I think next year we don't want just to have a recitation of activities and intentions. I think we need to think differently about how to make this more interesting and more analytical and to help with the sort of analytical appraisal of what's going on. And so we need to give that some thought. I'm afraid that one element of that may be that we have to have meet for more than just one day, maybe a day and a half, and that we really try and be more analytical about how we're approaching all this. And if we could ever extend to an academic conference, a multidisciplinary academic conference around defined themes, that would be fantastic too. But probably one step at a time would be my sort of initial reaction. Unless somebody has funds and organizational drive and wants to do it, we'll be more than happy. But from our side, it'll take a little while, I suspect. The question that I think was very neatly encapsulated by Keith's use of the word attribution, I think we do have to think about how we manage that. Because we don't want to be narrow and say, well, you could only attribute to the program what you spent WTO money on, because that would be slim pickings. It would also be quite unfair, because there have to be spillovers, there have to be externalities, there has to be value to the brand. There are a number of other things which will... So we need to... I think we should be quite broad-minded about this, but bear in mind that not everything that all of you are doing, you can say, well, this is the consequence of my participation in the chairs program. So we just got to get the right balance on that one. I think the scorecard idea is also really interesting, but again, this is all to do with how we're going to assess, which I'll say a little more about in a moment. On the assessment, the Director General mentioned this new system of assessment of reporting and accountability called results-based management. I'm not a management theorist, and I'm quite pleased that I'm not. But obviously there are better and worse ways of trying to assess performance and output and product. Vlasta sounded pretty miserable about any attempt to assess anything at all. And I know where she's coming from. But Mr. Lamy did say that one of the advantages of this program is that there actually is output, and that does make assessment a lot easier, both in quantitative and qualitative terms. So I think we will be in touch with you about this, because we are under the gun with respect to the adoption of this results-based management system. And I think it will fit quite nicely with the intention that also Mr. Lamy mentioned this morning of trying to persuade a few members of the advisory board to participate in a more in-depth analysis of these programs and where they've got to. And I think that in that context, we will also be asking, and I hope it won't meet with too much resistance, we'll also be asking for when there's output, when there are curricula that have been developed, when there are papers that have been written, that you wouldn't mind sharing them, that you wouldn't mind we find a way of posting them, and so we can all benefit from them. And I think that would be really useful, because we've got a lot of information about what people have done, but very little direct kind of access to this output. And I think this would be really good, and it would solidify the network as well. And that brings me to this question of the website. We have been a little bit remiss. It's a resource constraint, frankly, on our side. We would like to have developed this website more than we have to date. I'm told that the constraints are being relaxed, and in the next month or two, we should be able to have more to show. On this question, I think we'll have to work it as we go. I hear what Vlasta said about interactive websites not working. I think that partly depends on what inputs there are, I mean, what resources are put into the interactivity, both in terms of managing the website and the motivation and the interest in making it interactive. But we certainly can use it for postings, for hot links, for information publications. And I think for the rest, we need to see. One of the issues that we think we wanted to have was a publicly available part of the website and a dedicated site, password-protected site for the program. So I think we need to think a little bit about that, and we'll be fishing for ideas there as well in terms of how we actually manage that distinction. So I think this is one of the big things that we have to work on in the near future. Finally, sustainability, and I raise it finally. I mean, this is a very big question. This program is designed to fund with its modest funds. Of course, we have to put a bit of purchasing power parity analysis into this. They're more modest for some universities than for others. But nevertheless, somebody called it seed money. Can't remember who that was. I thought it was you. We know that you could make good use of a lot more money than we have to offer. We also know that this is a four-year program. Our vision, of course, is that the network doesn't, your participation in the network doesn't end when the money coming from the WTO doesn't end, because we're going to be giving it to some other universities to enlarge the network. But we hope the network continues. We very much hope it continues. Modalities for how we'll continue, of course, will evolve over time. But this also raises, of course, the question of other funds and other funding. And I know that some of you already have other funds, some of you are going out to get other funds. We may or may not have additional funds at the moment. Things don't look terrific. But who knows? And I think that we stand ready in any way we can, to the extent that it makes any difference to your prospects of raising funds and getting partnerships with other institutions. We stand ready very much to endorse and to support and to do what we can to make that happen. It may or may not be very much. But over time, we do see this network as broadening, and there will be different kinds of participation, different kinds of participants within the network. But the idea of the network isn't that it's going to be tightly controlled. It's just going to be a place where people can cohere around a common set of interests. And the measure of the utility of the network will inevitably be, and that's, of course, indirectly a question of its sustainability, will inevitably be as to whether or not it serves perceived needs amongst the potential participants of the network. So with that, I stop. I think Hakim wants to say something, and I have no idea whether any of you want to come in with anything.
No, thanks. Thanks, Patrick. In fact, I wanted to. Je vais le faire en français, peut-être. Non, je voulais vous rendre un petit peu compte au fait de. Comme vous le savez, c'est une. À l'OMC, nous sommes, nos activités sont rongées par tous les membres. Et le hasard du calendrier a fait que cet après-midi, nous avons rapporté sur à nos 153 membres, plus les observateurs, les résultats de l'assistance technique d'une manière générale, mais aussi plus précisément les chairs de l'OMC. Et donc c'est pour ça que j'ai, avec certains de mes collègues, on était absents de 2 heures pratiquement jusqu'à 4h30. Et il y a, je pense, c'est une dimension qui est très importante, parce que nous ne pouvons pas faire ce que nous faisons avec vous et tout ce travail intéressant s'il y a la moindre remise en cause, le moindre questionnement de la part de ces membres qui sont en droit d'arrêter toutes les activités que nous faisons. Et comme je disais à Patrick tout à l'heure, il y a vraiment d'excellentes nouvelles. Je pense le premier élément qui est très important, c'est un accueil positif. Et Dieu sait si il a mis du temps à venir. Les premières réactions étaient plutôt, je dirais, fraîches. Elles n'ont pas été très très positives. C'est pour ça que je pense l'appui du directeur général Pascal Lamy était très important. Il a lui-même parlé dans un conseil général de l'importance de renforcer le travail avec les universités et les académiques et l'importance du programme, donc il est monté lui-même au créneau, et l'importance du programme des chaires. Et je dois dire que l'évolution a été très très positive et aujourd'hui c'est perçu comme étant une évolution importante dans les activités de l'OMC. Plus personne, moi je me rappelle les premiers conseils où j'allais pour présenter le programme et le nombre de questions que nous recevons, de doutes, d'interrogations et puis de questionnements. Est-ce que c'est vraiment le travail d'une institution internationale que de travailler avec des universités? Et aujourd'hui, je pense qu'il y a eu une évolution très positive. Elle a été confirmée cet après-midi. La présence des chairs et leur continuité n'est plus remise en question. Deuxième point qui me paraît très important, et là-dessus ça a été exprimé, ça n'a peut-être pas été exprimé aujourd'hui, mais ça a été toujours exprimé avec les membres, c'est l'extension des chairs. C'est-à-dire que de ce point de vue, on a une double demande. Extension, bien évidemment, de la part des pays en voie de développement qui n'ont pas eu de chair et qui souhaitent être partie prenante de ce programme. Et de ce point de vue, nous comptons dans l'année prochaine ou l'année d'après faire une nouvelle extension à peu près de même nombre, à peu près, on se dit, 14 chairs, de manière à en faire une trentaine. On a pensé le lancer dès 2012 et ensuite, avec nos capacités de gestion, on s'est dit peut-être qu'il serait, nous allons mettre dans le programme annuel pour 2012-2013 les dispositions financières pour qu'il y ait 14 chairs, de nouvelles chairs, mais je ne suis pas sûr que nous ferons le lancement à la fin de cette année, donc nous le ferons probablement à la fin de 2012 de manière à avoir les 14 avec nous en 2013. Et l'autre demande d'extension, comme vous le savez, c'est des chairs qui sont financées sur le fonds de la coopération technique. Le fonds de la coopération technique, comme toutes les institutions internationales, n'ont accès à ce fonds de coopération technique que les pays en voie de développement. C'est-à-dire que les pays développés n'ont pas accès à ce fonds. Et donc, du coup, les universités des pays développés n'ont pas accès à ces fonds. Mais nous avons une double demande d'extension et de la part des universités, Paris School of Economics, par exemple, nos collègues et d'autres universités de la LCI et d'autres universités souhaitent intégrer le programme, mais sans nécessairement avoir l'argent. C'est-à-dire que ce qui est très important, c'est d'être partie prenante. Et nous trouvons avec Patrick que c'est une idée séduisante, et d'autant plus que nous avons effectivement, de la part des pays développés, je dirais quelques pressions pour que les universités également, que ce soit un véritable lieu de coopération entre les universités. Et là-dessus, les demandes sont encore plus pressantes, et certains bailleurs de fonds suggèrent même de mettre des fonds spécifiques pour faciliter la contribution de leurs propres universités. Et donc là-dessus, c'est aussi, je pense qu'il y a encore cette demande de la part des pays développés qui a été exprimée à plusieurs reprises. Pour dire, c'est important que les universités soient partie prenante. Troisième aspect qui a été évoqué aussi, et sur lequel Patrick est revenu, un certain nombre de collègues sont revenus dans la discussion, c'est vraiment les résultats. Les résultats, il faut mesurer les résultats, il faut montrer qu'il y a des résultats. Patrick a parlé de result-based management. Je pense, dans cet effort de mesurer les résultats et puis de convaincre, hein, finalement, mais mesurer les résultats, c'est pour convaincre des électeurs pour mettre plus d'argent, je dirais, pour que les institutions internationales continuent à faire le travail qu'elles font. Nous avons la chance, au niveau de l'OMC, d'avoir quelqu'un, ça a été évoqué ce matin par Pascal Lamy, qui souhaite d'avoir une manière, qui n'en fait pas un, comment dire, de result-based management, il n'en fait pas une, comment on appelle ça, un dogma, c'est-à-dire, ou une doctrine. Il veut que ça soit des choses très pragmatiques, il ne veut pas qu'on s'inscrive dans une recherche ou mesure lourde de résultats, mais au contraire, dans une démarche très pragmatique. Comment ils ont appelé ça, Martin? Get it? What?
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. KISS, voilà. Keep it simple and smart. Donc l'idée est vraiment de faire quelque chose de très simple. Donc, et d'où l'idée, on n'a pas voulu vraiment, on avait pensé à un moment même vous faire une présentation ici, et puis on s'est dit, compte tenu de la politique de la maison, qui de laisser cette mesure assez simple et pas très compliquée, c'était pas la peine, et que au contraire, j'ai informé aujourd'hui les membres qu'à la fin de cette année, nous allons faire une évaluation indépendante, et qui sera faite essentiellement par les membres, comme l'a indiqué Pascal Lamy ce matin, par les membres du board, de manière à ce que nous puissions l'année prochaine leur présenter des résultats qui ont été faits de manière indépendante et sur la base de critères véritablement très simples que nous connaissons dans le domaine académique, qui sont le nombre des publications, le nombre de cours qui ont été donnés, le nombre de personnes qui ont été formées, etc. Donc voilà, très rapidement, je pense que c'est une évolution positive qui externe, je dirais, qui vient conforter ou réconforter l'évolution en interne de du travail que nous faisons, et qui fait que nous sommes heureux de savoir que nous pouvons, que nous avons le feu vert de nos pays membres et de la direction de l'OMC pour aller de l'avant et pour poursuivre ce travail important. L'idée est que l'année prochaine, la conférence, j'ai reporté d'ailleurs, que la conférence aura lieu au même temps que GTAP, que la conférence de GTAP a été énormément, bien évidemment, bien accueillie, et particulièrement qu'elle a été bien accueillie, qu'avec Patrick, on n'a pas voulu en faire une hégémonie de l'OMC. On a voulu impérativement associer les deux autres institutions qui travaillent sur le commerce à Genève, à savoir la CNUSED et le CCI, qui seront partie prenante de la conférence de GTAP. Aussi, il a fallu du temps pour convaincre certains, mais on l'a eu quand même.
Just explain me us what is this conference. You mentioned it this morning and then you are coming back. What will be this conference?
I'll leave it to Patrick. I'll leave it to Patrick.
The role of the WTO. I am a lawyer, not an economist.
That's
what I probably am.
That's right. Patrick, probably you may need, because the idea is to organize this board at this back-to-back to this conference, because the idea we would like you to be part or to attend, for the ones who are available to attend this conference. And but of course, as Patrick was mentioning, the idea is also to go beyond one day for our board meeting, to have it for one day and a half or 2 days, with what already Antoine has mentioned, in fact, making some presentation of the research activity in some of the universities. But also from our side, we thought that probably we could brief you about the state of play of the negotiations and some things like that,
okay,
which would be helpful, in fact, for the probably for the cause. But Patrick, maybe you want to say a word on the GTAP conference.
The GTAP conference, for the uninitiated economists, may be a wonderful occasion to convince yourselves, I mean, to reconfirm your suspicion that you're really happy that you were never an economist. It's basically the core of the conference is to do with economic analysis. I mean, our conference is going to be about trade, development, sustainability, and basically what happens is you get about 200 plus predominantly economists. It's one of the biggest conferences of economists, certainly involved in trade issues in the world, and they come together and on a basis of a competition they submit papers and organize sessions. It isn't excluded that we would organize a session, and it's not excluded that non-economists will also find a role in this conference, but I have to say that primarily it is an economists conference for basically using in particular a simulation technique for trying to work out the consequences of different policy scenarios for economic welfare. So it's clearly going to be of more interest to economists than it will be to lawyers, but we would very much hope that it's not excluded from lawyers and people interested in public policy, because at the end of the day, technique aside, it's about public policy. It's about what governments do or don't do. So I think in that sense it has a general applicability to the sorts of interests that we have. We know that the dates of this conference are, I think, the 26, 27, 28, is it? Yeah, so our conference would be the 24th and 25th, most likely, of June. So, our meeting would be probably the 24th and 25th, something like this, whatever the Monday and Tuesday are of that week. That's most likely to be our meeting dates. So, but anyway, we'll confirm all this. But in the meanwhile, I hope that we will have had a lot more interaction on emails, conversationally, through different activities, and through a ramping up of our ability to communicate through website and share information. And we will be writing to you from time to time, asking for advice and opinions. That applies both to the shareholders and to the advisory board. And we really appreciate answers if you have time to supply them. Okay, I don't want to make this sound like we've all finished, because you might want to continue talking about things. There's one thing I didn't mention, which I in the little summary I made, which I think is really important. It really was Olu's point that we must be opportunistic about finding opportunities to latch on to other activities. He said side events, things that we can really use to bring this program to public attention. I think we should all be attentive about that and think creatively about it. And so ideas are really welcome. And if it's something local or something regional and we can help, then please let us know, and we would certainly try to do that. But I think it really is worth our while to try to bring this program to the attention as much as possible as people outside it. Would anyone like to raise anything? Yeah, Keith.
I'm not going to say much. I just want to get everyone's email address. Because based on a lot of the presentation, I think there's a lot of area for collaboration. So I want to ensure that happens. Yeah. So,
if you give us if you don't mind sharing your PowerPoint presentations with us, we would be very happy to share them so that everyone shares them, unless you tell us you don't want us to do that. I just think there's a lot of information in those PowerPoint presentations, and if you've watched them, then you've got the context as well. I just think it's a very useful thing for us to take away and refer to, especially as we try to work out some of the things that we're going to have to be thinking about in the coming months. Is there anything else, Ravi?
Just 2 points. I think there has been a lot of discussion on the side event promoting WCO this program. What I would like to say is that ESCAP is located in the middle of the region, Asia Pacific, and I can welcome. In fact, I can invite all our regional partners. There are 4 countries from the region, or anybody other. If you want to take the advantage of any activity related to trade and investment in ESCAP, you are welcome to use that opportunity. In fact, we are going to have a trade and investment week in the last week of July, starting from 25 to 29, about 10-12 activities, training programs, seminars. In fact, we are working with WTO also. There are a number of seminars on that, and business sector coming, policymakers. So, and we have a trade investment fair, like if you want to display your programs, that is one wonderful opportunity also. We have an excellent collaboration with WTO, so we are happy to support any, especially this program at the regional headquarters of UN. So that is one thing. And secondly, I just want to maybe our colleagues, the organizers like Patrick and Hakim, as well as Gerardo and Mustafa and team, I think you have done a wonderful job here. At the end, I think it is more than I expected. The discussion is very good. I think there were not many ideas came up in terms of new solution, innovative ideas. I think I'm sure that JAS are going home with so many ideas. I know it is not easy, as was mentioned, but I think it is taking one by one, gradually developing it, strengthening the program in such a way that. And I'm so happy that WTO is going towards that. It is sometime before we always say that it is a rule-based organization, right? So it is now becoming much more development-oriented. This is, I think, member countries will really appreciate, and I just want to congratulate especially the leaders of this program, the creators of the program, Hakim and Patrick, for initiating or launching this one. Thank you.
Okay, is anyone else bursting to say anything? Not all, just would like to say anything. You don't have to be bursting to say anything. If not, then may I say that we really hope that you'll all come downstairs to the... Is this out? It's a place immediately below here on the ground floor, which you get to by pressing the R button on the elevator. It's supposed to start at 6:30, but I'm sure if we get down there earlier, it won't be a disaster. So with that, thank you all very, very much indeed for coming. It's been a long day, and we really appreciate the fact that you have been willing to participate, and we'll all be in touch. Thank you.